Good morning. It is Tuesday morning. Parshas Pikudei, Tav Shem Pei Dalet. I'd like to begin with Rashi on Pasuk Chof Beis that says that Betzalel ben Uri ben Hur l'mata Yehuda. Also, he did Es Kol Asher Tziva Hashem Es Moshe. Everything that Hashem commanded Moshe, he fulfilled. So Rashi comments, Asher Tziva Oso Moshe Enksiv. It doesn't say Asher Tziva Oso Moshe. It doesn't say that Betzalel did everything that Moshe commanded him, which you would have thought it should say. But it says El Kol Dov Es Kol Asher Tziva Hashem Es Moshe, that he fulfilled everything that Hashem commanded to Moshe. So there's Betzalel did what Hashem commanded to Moshe. It seems to be a little disconnect. It's not going directly on Betzalel. Rashi says, "Afilu devarim shelo amar l'rabo," even things that his master, his Rebbe, did not tell him. Moshe told him a certain thing, but Betzalel did not listen to the exact way that Moshe said it. His scheme would die to the Moshe Nehmer, the Moshe Bitsinim. But what he did do was what Hashem told Moshe to do. It means Hashem told Moshe to do A. Moshe told Betzalel to do B. But Betzalel didn't do B as he was instructed to do by Moshe. He did what Hashem instructed Moshe, which is A. Now, what are we talking about? Ki Moshe tzivah the Betzalel. Livnas Kalim Achakach Mishkan. In the sequence, we find that Moshe Rabbeinu commands Betzalel first to build the Kalim, the vessels, and then the Mishkan proper. That's in Parshas Kisisa. That's the order there. Amar lo Betzalel, so Betzalel, who's the artisan, he says, wait, Minika Olam, the way of the world is, Lasos Tchila Bayis, first you make a house, Achakach Mesim Kalim Bezoch, and then you put Kalim into the house. You don't go to Carol House and buy the furniture and then buy the house, right? You got another order. So Amalo, he says, Kashamati Bipi HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He says, what you're really suggesting is actually what I heard from Hashem. I actually heard from Hashem first to do the Kalim, and then to do the Bais, and then to do the Kalim. You're right. So Amar lo Moshe says, Betzel Kela, you must have been in the shadow of God, right? Because you somehow had this intuition that what I was telling you was not the way it was really commanded to me. So really Hashem says to Moshe, build the Mishkan, then the Kalim. Moshe turns it around, and he says, build the Kalim, and then the Mishkan. And Betzalel says, that doesn't make any sense, because that's not the way of the world. First you build the house, and then you put in the Kalim. So what's happening over here? Why does Moshe Rabbeinu turn it around, and how does Betzalel know that that's not really what was happening? So the Gurarye asks the question, Ben Tomar, Moshe lama lo tzivah lasos ha-Mishkan kodem? Why didn't Moshe command to make the Mishkan first? Says the Maharal that Moshe, he first talked about the Kalim because the Kalim are more choshev, more significant than the Mishkan. The vessels are more significant than the building itself, than the Mishkan itself. Why? We know this from who was responsible for carrying the Mishkan and the Kalim. B'nai Kohas, the children of Kohas, right, they're the ones that carried in the Midbar the Kalim. And the Mishkan was carried by the B'nai Merari. And he says that the B'nai Kohas was a more important family than the B'nai Merari. In the footnote he cites from the Zohar that the Mishpach of Kohas is the main branch of Shevet Levi. Okay, so this is given. Axiomatic is that Kohas is more chashuv than Merari. Axiomatic is, the more chashuv you are, you're going to be given a more lofty task. So if Moshe knew that Kohas is going to carry the Kalim, that informed Moshe that the kelim were more chashuv than the Mishkan itself. And therefore, he knows that you're supposed to start lahaskel be'ikar. Ikar means the main one, right? The main one always goes first. Incidentally, ikar in Hebrew means the main one. How do you say at the beginning in Aramaic? Mi'ikara, right? It's the same word. In other words, because if something is important, so it's mi'ikara, it takes precedence. Okay. So that's what he said. Now, Bezalel, he says like this. He says, Moshe Rabbeinu, he was appointed what the Maral refers to as the limud, Hoya Mamuna al Halima Bilvad. Moshe Rabbeinu's job was, he was involved in the learning, in the understanding of really the importance of the Mishkan and what each thing stood for, the spiritual connection that the Mishkan and the Kelim had. He calls this further along the Talmud of it, the understanding. You might want to call it the spiritual or the mystical, the part of the Mishkan that, you know, that it takes a Moshe Rabbeinu to really understand deeply. It says, Bezalel, he was commanded on the practicality. Excuse me, on the asiyah, on the doing, on the making. And therefore, Bezalel understood that it has to be that the minika olam is, the way the world is, first you build a building, then you buy the kingdom and put them into the building. Moshe Rabbeinu was not operating from a practical point of view. Moshe Rabbeinu says the Maral was operating from a point of view of limud, of really the spiritual understanding of what the Mishkan was all about. From that perspective, the kelim were more important than the Mishkan itself. I'd just like to just explain that just a little bit. You have a mitzvah, you have the practicality of the mitzvah, and then you have all the kavanas, the intents, and you have all the you might call it the spiritual part, the mystical part. You know, but we know that we live in a world, olam hamasa, we live in a world of action. And for the rank and file Jew like us, we have to be involved in how to practically fulfill the mitzvah, right? What's going on deep behind the curtain upstairs, what the real intent is, leave that for people that are, you know, tremendous people that have those kinds of insights, which are very few in the generation. You know, the Ramban says that why doesn't the Torah describe in greater detail the creation of Bereishis, right? I mean, it's pretty cursory. Hashem made the two luminaries, but how did it work? So he says, anyway, we're not going to understand it. It's so esoteric that we're not going to understand it. He says, only a few people, right? Only Yechidei Skula, only single people in a generation can even grasp anything esoteric. So it's not for regular Jews, and therefore, the Torah was makatsa. The Torah was abbreviated. It's a truncated description of Abriyasa Olam. There was a Hasidic Rebbe years ago who wrote that in Baba Kama in the fifth parak. It says Shorshenaga Chasapara. It says that if an ox scores a cow, the nimsa ubra betzida, and next to the cow you find its fetus. And the question is, did the ox that gore the cow, did he kill the fetus, or was the fetus born first? That's the subject matter of the fifth chapter of Baba Kama. It's a very technical, and it's in the Zikin, right? And so this Rebbe said that that's not the main, the real thing is what the shore represents in the esoteric world, what's the ox represents in the esoteric world, you know, and that's really the main part of the Torah. And Rabbi Cutler, of course, went wild, and he refuted that thoroughly. He says, our ASIC, our involvement in Torah, is not the esoteric. Our involvement is to know the practical din. What happens if you did not say Yalav Yavo on Rosh Chodesh? Do you have to repeat the Shemona Esrei? Do you have to repeat the benching? On a very practical level, that is where our Torah is in the practice. Now, sometimes you'll read something or you'll hear something, and you tend to be dazzled by the esoteric part. But you know that's like you live at home. You know, it's like taking your child to Disney World, right? So they're going to see this, you know. It's good to go to Disney World for a day or two, and after all your money's been spent, then you come back home. It's a dream. It's a dream world. The kids see the dream stuff. So it's the esoteric stuff, right? It's not really where we belong. We belong in really learning the Torah plain as it is, and that's really what B'Tzalel was. And Moshe Rabbeinu, his involvement in Torah was on the deepest level possible, that he had a grasp in Torah that no one else had. So he understood, according to the Maharal, that the most important part of the Mishkan was the Kelim. You had a story that they came to Reb Chaim Brisker in the city of Brisk. He was the Rav, and they said that we have a choice. We have an option for the shofar blower this year for Rosh Hashanah. One of them, he's a tremendous blower. He never fouls up. He blows like Rabbi Muser and like Jimmy Fendelman. He's great. But unlike Rabbi Muser and Jimmy Fendelman, his Yirah Shemayim, his fear of God, is not the greatest. You know, his character isn't the greatest, but he's a great shofar blower. We have another person who, he is so sublime in his Avodas Hashem. He's so connected to God, and he's such a tzaddik, beyond reproach. But not the greatest shofar blower. He'll get through it, but who should we choose? So Jimmy, what do you say?
Guy who can blow it perfectly.
Oh, you're biased here, right? Reb Chaim Brisker said, the definition of a shofar blower is someone who knows how to blow well. Yirah Shemayim, it's a nice added element. You know, if all things are equal, he had two perfect blowers, and one is a God-fearing Jew, and one is not. You go for the God-fearing Jew. But Reb Chaim Brisker says, but if you have a choice, one's a great shofar, you go for the great shofar. In other words, we live in Olam HaMa'asa. We live in a world of action, and therefore, we have to do what the Minhag HaOlam is. So here's a question that I thought that some of you might be bothered by, and that is, well, when was the Mishkan completed as far as the building of the Kelim? When was it done?
Yeah, I'll come back.
By Kislev, okay? We can hear you, Gabriel.
Okay.
What?
Very good.
Oh, okay. Right, you didn't do mute. You did hit speaker off. Okay. So, where were the Kelim? What happened? It wasn't erected until Rosh Chodesh Nisan. According to most opinions, the final Hakomas HaMishka, the Pasuk says that it was the first day of the first month, which is Nisan, is when a Mishkan was erected, okay? So anyway, the Kelim weren't in the house. In other words, they bought the Kelim, right? They made the Kelim, rather. Okay? So you said, but Solomon knew, first you build the building, then you build the then you make the Kelim, because you don't make Kelim because where are you going to put them into if you don't have a building? But anyway, they didn't have a building because the Mishkan was not hukam, was not put up until Rosh Chodesh Nisan. So you had several months that they had a, where were the Kelim? You know, you see around U City, these storage bins that you rent and they park them in front of your house. So I guess they had that in the Midbar also. So that's, where else did they put the Kelim? So anyway, it wasn't in the Mishkan. So where were they? It's a good question, isn't it not? So Reb Meir Soloveitchik asked this question in Chumash. And he says, and to say that B'Tzalel didn't know that, to suggest that B'Tzalel thought that immediately after he builds the Aron HaKelim, that's where the Kelim will be set up, and he didn't know that it's going to wait till Nisan, he says, that's dochik to say that. It's not, I don't accept that. So he says an answer that I think requires explanation, but let me just tell you what I think the answer might be, and I think this is probably what he's trying to say. No, it's not just the very superficial understanding that, well, build the house, because if you don't build the house first, you're not going to have where to put the Kelim. Right? That's on a very, very superficial level. It's true. But over here, that's not the case, as I just pointed out. It just means to say, when the Ribbono Shel Olam gives us a mitzvah, the mitzvah is k'minhag shel olam. In other words, in this particular scenario, that the Mishkan will not be up anyway for the Kelim. It's true that that's not the consideration. But Bezalel is saying, you heard, you're telling me, Moshe, Kalim, that Mishkan, that's your tfisa, that's your grasp and foothold in the esoteric part of Torah, because it's more kvchoshev and it's more, the Kalim are more important. But I have a different, I'm a practical person, I'm the artisan, I'm the general contractor, I have my team of people. And in terms of when you're told to build something, right, it's not only a matter of being practical in this situation, it's a matter of doing things that would be that would conform to the minhag ha'olam. You have to act like the minhag ha'olam. It says Moshe Rabbeinu, when he was in Shemayim, he didn't eat for 40 days and 40 nights, right? So it says, okay, so did he have to eat? He did. So it says, Chazal say that because the malachim didn't eat, he also didn't eat. While in Rome, do as the Romans. While in heaven, do as the heavenly bodies, right? What Teretz is, that is what minig is. Minig dictates the norm. And the minig is that Shemayim, right, Hashem's creatures don't eat, so Moshe Rabbeinu didn't eat. The norm in the world is you first buy your house, and then you go to the furniture store, and then you buy your appliances and everything. So while in this case, it's true that that doesn't hold out in terms of the logistics, because anyway, the Kalim weren't going into the Mishkan that wasn't erected until Rosh Chodesh Nisan, but he understood that as a artisan, as a practical aspect of the mitzvah, like I said, you have to be normal. You have to act in a normal way. And I just always like to stress that, you know, sometimes people, especially young boys, sometimes they go away to yeshiva and they grab on to certain extreme behaviors, you know, and they're going to apply that to themselves. And it seems it's going to make them more religious, with more fervor, this and that. And oftentimes they're leaving off the basic recipe for success, and they're trying to find all the tangential things. By Bezalel building, it's just this Mishkan, it's going to be an abode, as I mentioned yesterday, and that it's going to be a partnership between Klai Yisrael and the Ribbono Shel Olam. From its very get-go, it has to be normal. It has to conform with normal behavior is. That's just the way I think what Rav Meir Soloveitchik might be answering, but it's the answer that I thought might be the answer to this question. Okay. The truth of the matter is that there's a Midrash Tanchuma that says that we'll speed this up. The Midrash Tanchuma says is that after everything was completed, so the Zakein of the elders said, "Okay, now let's get this thing up." So they tried to put it up, didn't work. So he went to Bezalel and to his artist, and he says, "Can you built it? Can you put it up?" And they couldn't do it either. They said, "Moshe Rabbeinu, You solicited all these funds, and nothing's happening with it. Like, we wasted our money." And it's like, so Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu that you go ahead and you put it up. And Moshe Rabbeinu said, "I don't know how. I don't know how." And Hashem said, You start. I'll finish it, and I will ascribe it to you." And the pasuk says, Moshe Rabbeinu put up the Mishkan. I just like to suggest what's happening over here. So again, the Maharal says that Moshe Rabbeinu, he understood the inner workings of the Mishkan. I think when all the Kalim are built and the Kalim are built and the Mishkan is built, to really create that edifice, to bring the Shekhinah down, to bring all the moving parts together, for it to be the abode of the Ribbono Shel Olam, that did require Moshe Rabbeinu's inner panemius, the inner understanding of what it's all about. So that already went beyond just the practical and the establishment and actually setting up for the very first time. Moshe Rabbeinu himself felt unworthy. Hashem says, "You start it, and I'll." What does that mean when Hashem completes it? You need Hashem to do the physical work. It means you start because you represent Klal Yisrael. You represent the wife. I'm the husband. Hashem and Moshe, we're coming together. It's a partnership, and we're putting every emotion in it. We're putting every esoteric piece in it. All the emotions and everything that's required to make a home. Hashem says, both I and you could dwell. I need you to start and I'll complete it. And therefore, it's a partnership together. And therefore, maybe that's why Moshe Rabbeinu was the one to finally put it up, because to add that transcendent element, right? When husband and wife gets married, right? They need to have siyata d'shamayim. There has to be something transcendent, some glue, some chemistry, some cement to make that relationship really work. And that's what was going on with the final Hakamas on Mishkan. Okay, have a good day, everyone.
Okay, we'll join you.
Amen.